Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Welcome to today's session. This is Dr. Ruth. We are still in the Gospel of Luke. This is a verse-by-verse expository teaching out of the Gospel of Luke, the ministry of Jesus Christ. Welcome. If you are new to this podcast, please listen to other sessions here. That way you can approach the ministry of the Lord Jesus in context and get the best out of it. And again, please kindly share this with friends and family members so many others can receive the blessing in God's word. I thank you in advance for doing this. So today we are in Luke chapter 9. What is the gist of these upcoming verses? The Lord Jesus would send out the 12 disciples, during his earthly ministry to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Okay, so let us get into it. So Luke chapter 9, verse 1. When Jesus had called the 12 together, meaning the 12 disciples, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. Let me pause. Keep in mind, by this time in the Lord Jesus' ministry, the 12 disciples had witnessed the miracles of Jesus. They had seen how the Lord Jesus casted out demons and healed the sick. They had listened to his teaching. So they, by this point, had gained some experience. And now the Lord Jesus was about to send them out to actually put that experience into practice. Because you can watch someone all year, 4 or 5 years, until you get out there and put the principles into practice, you won't gain that experience. So experience is absolutely crucial. And in this case, the Lord Jesus gave them delegated power and authority to heal the sick. And friend, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Right now, we are indwelt by God, the Holy Spirit, and as a part of the great commission, each of us is called to proclaim the gospel message of Jesus Christ, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. These instructions have not changed because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Okay, so we move on here to verse 2. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Absolutely. There are people today who would tell you that, oh, healing has passed away. Absolutely false. Jesus Christ still wants us to get out there to preach the kingdom of God to people, essentially preach the word of God, and then to heal the sick and to cast out demons, because we have his power and authority to do so. It will be the Holy Spirit working in and through us to do it, but we need to believe that we have that power in us and then step out in faith and then trust the Holy Spirit to do it. So we are still called to do the same. Okay. And in fact, we are even in a better position than these disciples, because these disciples were not indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. Okay, because Jesus Christ had not died, Jesus Christ had not been resurrected, so the Holy Spirit had not come upon the church. So they were not indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, but they had Jesus Christ with them. So Jesus Christ delegated this power to them. Okay, so we have no excuse. We have the Holy Spirit in us who is willing to do it in and through us. So now we move on to verse 3. Let us listen carefully to the instructions the Lord Jesus would give these first century disciples. And it is still the same instructions that we have to keep in mind when we step out in faith to proclaim Christ to others, either as a missionary, Bible teacher, or pastor. Okay, so verse 3, the Lord Jesus told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Boy, I bet you, the disciples were shocked, because traditionally in that culture, when you have to travel, you have to carry these extra things as provisions and for security and safety. But here the Lord Jesus was telling them, take no food, take no clothing, take nothing. Why do you think that was the case? Because Jesus Christ was trying to train them to be dependent on God for their provisions, for financial provisions, for food and for shelter. So they don't worry about their food and their clothing. Rather, their focus should be on preaching the kingdom of God and trust God to take care of the rest. Friend, this has not changed. When God calls us as pastors, Bible teachers, missionaries, our primary focus should be on that calling and trust God to provide the finances and the food. Because if God gives a vision, He is mandated by His goodness and faithfulness to provide the provision. Okay, that is absolutely true. Even as a Bible teacher, I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I do what I'm called to do. I trust God for the financial provisions to come in to advance His work. I don't worry about the money, because if it is God, the money will come. Oh boy, I hope you just received this. Which is why I am very uncomfortable with preachers and others who just beg, and they manipulate people to give. That is not of God. And as I'm speaking to you right now, as you're listening to me, as you are being blessed, we ask that you give back into this work, because that is God's will, that God opens the doors for people to give. Because giving into this ministry or to any other Christ-centered work is for your own good, because you would be partaking with God in advancing His kingdom, and that money will come back to you 100 times fold, and your faith would be strengthened. So giving is about helping you, the giver, because it is more blessed to give than to receive. So when you give genuinely into God's work, it's good for you. And you show that you love God and you want his kingdom to spread. Okay, so we should not manipulate people. That is not of God. Okay, so we go into verse 4. Whatever, the Lord Jesus continued with His instructions. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. Of course, Jesus did not want the disciples to worry about lodging and to move from house to house. He did not want that to be a focus of the missionary. He wanted, again, preaching the kingdom of God and casting out demons and healing the sick to be the primary focus. So He gave them specific instructions. When you get to a person's house, when they welcome you, you stay there until the mission is completed. And that is still the same today. Because when the disciples or today missionaries get into somebody's house, the blessing of God would rest into that house as well. Verse 5, the Lord Jesus continues, if people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Amazing, so true. Back then in that culture, this was a familiar practice among the Jews, especially towards the Samaritans or towards their enemies, that they would shake the dust off their feet as a sign to say that I condemn you, I'm never coming back here, I cut all ties with you. That was a tradition there. So the Lord Jesus used this illustration to tell the disciples that if you go to a home or to a town and they don't receive the message about the kingdom of God, shake the dust off your feet and go to the next one, because they have willfully rejected God. So you just let them be. Their blood is not on your hands. God will deal with them directly. You move on to the next one. And this is still applicable today. When we are trying to preach Christ to people and they willfully reject that, we need to still shake the dust off our feet. In essence, we are still to say, you know what? I have tried. I've done my part. Your blood is not on my hand. If you choose to go to hell, if you choose to be condemned, it's on you. And you just move on to the next person and you entrust that person to God. Because God has given each human being a free will, okay? But we are still called to preach the gospel, to give each person the opportunity to listen to the good, amazing news that Jesus Christ is God. He died and on the third day was raised from the dead, that God loves them enough. He wants them to come into this relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, and He will empower them through the Holy Spirit to live a blessed, fruitful life in this life. When we tell people that and they willfully reject it, you got to just move on. Do not manipulate anyone to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is called works, okay? And that is not going to convince anyone. The Holy Spirit is the one who would convict people or condemn the unbelievers of their sins so they can accept Christ. Our job is to proclaim the truth, and there is power in proclaiming the truth, and we have to trust the Holy Spirit to take that truth. Once a person's heart is open, once a person recognizes their sinfulness, their sinful nature, their depravity, once a person acknowledges that they are sinful and they need God, then the Holy Spirit will bring into their remembrance the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and then that person would in turn accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So that is the job of the Holy Spirit. It's a supernatural work. Don't force it. Don't manipulate it. Just tell people the truth and gently move away and plant that seed, okay? Maybe your job is just to plant that seed at that time, and that person may not be ready. It could be that God, in His long suffering and patience, would send somebody else to water that seed, and that person would receive. So we really never know when we preach the gospel at times what happens many, many years later, because people can listen today and then a year later, the Holy Spirit would bring that message to their remembrance and they would accept Christ. So we can never give up on anyone. Even when we shake the dust off of our feet, we move on to the next person, we should still pray that that seed we've planted by proclaiming Christ, that God would open their hearts and lead somebody else to preach that message again so they can receive Christ. Okay, so there is always hope with God. I hope you receive this, because I've listened to so many Christians who just easily give up. Well, God is long-suffering. He wishes for none to perish, before all to have eternal life. So that should be our attitude likewise. Okay, moving right along here, we are in verse 6. So the Lord Jesus had given the disciples those instructions, which, as I just explained, pertains to us 100%. Verse 6 continues, so they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Awesome. So they obeyed and they went out in the power of God and they did it. Verse 7, now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed, because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. Now, I discussed this in this same Gospel of Luke chapter 3. About John the Baptist and Herod the Tetrarch. You can go back and re-listen to that. I won't reteach that here. But if you are not aware, John the Baptist had boldly confronted Herod the Tetrarch about his sin. He had gotten married to his half-brother's wife. His half-brother was called Philip. So John the Baptist confronted him boldly and openly about that sin, and he was mad at John the Baptist, and his sin was made public. So, long story short, he arrested John the Baptist and killed him, beheaded him. So now he is hearing all this good report, him, Herod now, about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So he is like, is this John the Baptist? It could just be that his conscience was bothering him. And history tells us that, or church history tells us that Herod the Tetrarch was so perplexed about Jesus Christ, and he sent out several invitations for Jesus Christ to meet him. The Lord Jesus Christ just ignored that. Okay, but why do you think that the Lord Jesus would ignore that? Because the Lord Jesus knew that Herod the Tetrarch wasn't going to repent, that he just wanted to see the Lord Jesus for sure and just to appease his curiosity. So the Lord Jesus did not acknowledge and honor Herod's request. Again, this is a biblical principle. God would reveal more of himself to you if we are genuinely seeking God. If we are superficial, if we're just doing it casually, God is not interested in that. God is looking for genuine seekers, genuine followers. And if you are genuine and honestly seeking God, be ready to receive more from God, okay? Hello, friends. This is Dr. Ruth here. Thank you for joining me today. I would like to share with you our ministry offer that is available to you as a donation to this ministry throughout my teachings out of the Gospels. So, I have two resources that I know will bless you tremendously because these two books have blessed hundreds of people. So, the two books all have to do with the ministry of Jesus Christ. So the first one is titled, Who is the Real Jesus? And the second one is titled, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? So for a ministry donation of $50 or more, this includes shipping and handling. If you live here in the USA, we will mail these two books to you today. Okay, it will provide added clarity, added teaching about the Gospels, the ministry of Jesus, the work of Christ. These are phenomenal resources that would add into the teaching here I'm doing in the Gospels and help you to really have a deeper revelation and walk with the Lord. So again, this comes to us as a donation, and we thank you in advance for considering that. Again, the books are Who is the Real Jesus? And the other one is Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? For a ministry donation of $50 or more if you live in the USA. But if you cannot afford both books and you just want one, it's okay too. We thank you for your donation. So, Who is the Real Jesus? For a donation of $25 or more, including shipping and handling. And then the other book, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus, would be $35, including shipping and handling. We will mail these books to you today. The advantage of getting both books is that you would save $10, okay? So again, this ministry offer is only available for those who live within the USA because we cannot ship overseas. But if you live overseas and you're listening to me, you can get these books from Amazon. So here is how you can donate through us directly to get this book as a ministry offer. Our safe and secure website is drruthtanyi.org/donate. Again, drruthtanyi.org/donate. And then if you live in the USA, we also receive donations through Zelle. And here's the telephone number for Zelle. 909-501-9031. Again, 909-501-9031. And then we also accept donations through Cash App. And the name there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. Or if you just want to bless us with a one-time donation to help us produce more teachings like this and pay for studio time, we thank you abundantly from the bottom of our hearts. And God says thank you. And God is so faithful that he will bless you back abundantly, exceedingly. So I want to thank you in advance for purchasing this additional ministry resources to help you to gain a better revelation of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, we thank you. Here is the teaching. Okay, so we are now in verse 9. But Herod said, I beheaded John. There you go. Who then is this I hear such things about? And he tried to see him, meaning he tried to see the Lord Jesus, as I had said, but the Lord Jesus ignored that because Herod was not sincere. Okay, we move on to the next upcoming verses. The Lord Jesus would perform miracles here. Okay, he would exert authority over his creation. Verse 10, when the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowd learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. I just love it how the Lord Jesus made it his priority to always preach and teach about the kingdom of God before he would even satisfy people's physical needs. This is such a lesson today. We have outreaches or companies or church groups that get out to do outreach and they just focus primarily on feeding the poor, but they don't teach the word of God. They don't even give them the word of God. Now, there is absolutely nothing wrong with going out there to feed the poor, but at the very least, we should model what Jesus is doing here. Give them a word of encouragement. Give them a word. Just take a few minutes to just preach something to them, then give them food. I mean, it could be something such as, you know, Jesus died for you. He loves you. He is with you. He wants you to come into this relationship with him. I am here to represent Jesus, so we give you this food just as a blessing to you. At least we need to share the word, because at the end of the day, it's the word of God that is transformative. It is the word of God that is truth. It's the word of God that can enable them to overcome their poverty or whatever circumstances they are dealing with. Just feeding people, that is not it. God wants us to go beyond that. Okay, we have to preach the word, give them hope, and then feed them so they can see Christ in action. So that is what the Lord Jesus is doing here. So now he had preached the kingdom of God to the crowd and healed the sick. Now we move to verse 12. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." So apparently the Lord Jesus had kept the crowd there way into the evening. And the disciples, again, looking at things in the physical, not in the spiritual, just told the Lord Jesus, "Send them away. How are we going to deal with them? It's late." Oh, my goodness. Now, the Lord Jesus would reply here. In verse 13, he replied, "You give them something to eat." This is awesome. You see, if you were to go study this same event out of the Gospel of John, John 16, John reveals to us that the Lord Jesus said this. He already knew in his heart what he would do, meaning that he would perform a miracle to feed the crowd. But he would test his disciples by telling them, "You do something," okay? So this is awesome. They answered. So the Lord Jesus had told the disciples to do something, give them something to eat. And then they answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all this crowd," about 5,000 men were there. Now, these are just the men. If you were to count the women and children, more than likely more than 5,000. "But he said to his disciples, 'Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each.'" Now, the Lord Jesus is going to manifest or exert, teach us a principle of excellence, organization, and accountability. He is going to ask his disciples to arrange the crowd in groups of 50 so each person is accounted for. Crowd control. Okay, verse 15. "The disciples did so, and everyone sat down, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them." So the Lord Jesus is thanking God the Father for the miracle that was about to happen. "Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over." amazing, a couple of things are happening here. It appears as if in studying this, even in the Gospels of Mark and Matthew, after the Lord Jesus gave thanks to God the Father, and this is the principle here. We give thanks in advance before we see the manifestation because God is faithful. Oh, come on, somebody. We don't wait until we see the results before we thank God. If we believe in our heart that God has heard our prayers, we would thank God in advance that the manifestation is here. So we see Jesus putting this practice of prayer into practice. And I have taught this in other teachings, especially in my YouTube channel, about how to pray effectively. We thank God in advance. So Jesus Christ thanked God the Father in advance for the miracle. And then he handed the loaves of bread and fish to the disciples. It is my belief and the belief of many Bible scholars that that multiplication of that miracle happened the moment the disciples started to hand the fish and the loaves of bread to the crowd. Just a miracle, okay? Amazing. And then another thing I want to bring into your attention here is the end there that said that the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces and they were left over. We serve a God of abundance. Ephesians 3:20 is coming to mind. God is able to do abundantly, exceedingly, according to the power that resides in us. So when we are believing God for miracles or whatever our petition to God is, we have to believe for abundance and excess because God is always willing to give us abundance and excess so we can bless others. God wants to bless us so that blessing can overflow, so we have enough to bless others. God wants us to be the vessel so we can bless others. So when we pray to God, we have to expect abundance and pray for abundance so that our personal needs can be met. Then we can in turn bless others. Glory to God. So I am going to end this session here. And what is the key principle and application here? Number one, as Bible teachers, pastors, missionaries, and followers of Jesus Christ, we have to trust God that when we step out in faith to proclaim the kingdom of God, God is in us and we should trust the power of the Holy Spirit to do it in and through us. We should not manipulate people. We should not coerce people. We need to go in the power of God and know that the Holy Spirit is the one who truly would open people's hearts and not us, okay? And then also we serve a miraculous God when we are believing for God's promises to manifest in our lives. We have to believe and trust God for an overflow so we can become a vessel that God can use to bless others. I just hope that you have been blessed by today's lesson. And again, I just ask that you share these teachings with others and you send us an email. Let us know how these teachings are changing your life. And most importantly, we just ask that you prayerfully open your heart to bless us back with a financial donation, however way the Lord leads you, because it costs money to produce these programs. We have to pay for studio time. We just trust God that you will do the right thing, okay? Because we want many others to be blessed by this and reach many, many others. So we thank you in advance for your love gift donation. So, Father God, we thank you today for all those who've received these lessons. I thank you, God, the Holy Spirit, that you're speaking to their hearts, stirring their hearts to step out in faith and trust you as they preach Christ to others. We thank you for today. It's a great day that you have made. We rejoice in it. I just thank you for all the listeners. I just pray that your peace comfort them today. You open divine doors for them. We just thank you for just loving us. We ask all this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all those who are in agreement say amen. Please listen to the announcer who will tell you how to support this ministry. We thank you in advance. God loves you.
As you have been blessed, can you bless us back with a financial donation so we can produce more teachings and bless others in return? This program is solely sponsored by the financial donations from friends and listeners like you. We need your financial support in order to reach more people with Dr. Ruth's simple but profound life-changing messages. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure, simple, and easy process. Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address: Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address: info@drruthtanyi.org. That's info@drruthtanyi.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government-approved 501c corporation, which means that all your donations are 100% tax-deductible as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed, and goodbye for now.